The mayor denied that over 2.8 million cedis has been paid to ghost workers in a ghost primary school fictitiously created with ghost staff drawing salaries in the northern region. You want to stay for details of that. Also tonight, minority raise alarm about alleged illegal recruitment into security services, claiming government has given all NPP parliamentary candidates 30 slots each.
Notwithstanding the fact that the minority raised serious concerns about the criteria adopted by the NPP government to recruit personnel into the security services, it has persisted in taking additional steps in the last few days.
We have details of their warning to government to end the practice or plunge the country into chaos this general election.
We wish to remind His Excellency the President, President Akufo-Addo, and the Vice President, Alhaji Bawumia, that they will not have their way this time round, regardless of whatever maneuverings that they will roll out in the 2024 elections.
So what will the minority do about this? We'll have details of that. And political parties are up in arms against Ghana's Electoral Commission for the erroneous figures it keeps churning out in the ongoing limited voter registration exercise.
The greater worry is that it creates doubt about the capacity of the commission, about the integrity of the commission.
This situation exemplifies what we term transpositional rigging of elections.
We have details, as it says, it is working to introduce more rigorous methods to fix the recurring problem.
As a commission, we will not hide from our mistakes. What is more important is that why the mistakes happened and why they were not detected before publication.
In business, some oil marketing companies increased price of petroleum product at the pumps despite earlier forecast of reduction.
And as far as we hear from the head coach of Ghana under 17, Sir Lai Kinson, who has promised a dominating performance from his boys in the final group game against Benin on Tuesday in the ongoing WAFU Championship.
And much later in the bulletin, we'll tell you the story of a 30-year-old woman living with bipolar disorder who was fired from her job after opening up about her condition to the boss.
I didn't understand why the other teachers were going through the same level of stress and pressure, but I was breaking down. I was called for a meeting and I was told that was my last day of work at the school, and I was fired.
We bring you excerpts from Joy News' latest hotline documentary, When the Mind is Not, that and more in tonight's edition of Newsnight. You may want to join us with your thoughts and your comments. It's via WhatsApp 055-1111-997. We are live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. You can hit us with the hashtag Newsnight. I am Emefa Apau.
And my name is Evans Mensah, and we start tonight from the latest report published by the auditor, published by the special prosecutor, an audit into the government payroll. The special prosecutor is tonight vowing to go after non-existent names on the government payroll and uncover unearned salaries. It is emerging tonight that over 2.8 million cedis has been paid to ghost workers in the northern region. And it includes a ghost primary school that has been fictitiously created with ghost staff drawing salaries from the government payroll in a particular part of the country. A statement from the OSP failed to name the exact school, but that school, in fact, it gives us a bit more of a detail. It is said the school that has been created doesn't exist, and the OSP says it's one of the most troubling findings that it is in the Kumbungu district. My colleague MF obviously has details of this. What more do we know from this?
Well, so the Office of the Special Prosecutor gives background to this particular report, and it talks about the fact that it works in conjunction with the Controller and Accountants General Department to release its findings into the Government of Ghana Payroll Administration. So the investigation covered employees on the government payroll, in the northern region alone. You know, earlier we had teachers come up to say that their salaries had been frozen by the OSP, but this particular report is centered on the northern region alone, and it goes on to talk about this fictitious school that we've been talking about in the Kumbungu district of the Ghana Education Service, and it uncovered that this particular school did not exist at all, yet this non-existent contrived entity was represented as staffed, and the purported staff were being validated monthly and being paid salaries. So a staggering amount of over 2.8 million cedis was identified as an earned monthly salaries attributed to individuals who were deceased, some retired, some no longer in their positions, flagged as missing or whose whereabouts were unknown, commonly referred to as ghost names as we know it. And by blocking these payments and removing the corresponding individuals from the government payroll, the Republic saved over 34 million cedis for the 2024 financial year. Now, additionally, ongoing savings are expected for subsequent years, along with potential upward pay adjustment, thanks to the detection, it says, of these unearned salaries facilitated by the joint investigation of the OSP. So the OSP and the Controller and Accountant General, it says, are engaged in enhanced investigations into the educational institutions under the Ghana Education Service in the Northern Region and the Tamale Teaching Hospital, aimed at the prosecution of persons who promoted the non-existent school, validated deceit, untraceable and retired persons, and persons who have vacated their posts. So it goes on to say that subsequent phases of the investigation will extend to the 15 remaining regions. So it's not just the Northern Region that you're working on.
And there's more on this, actually, because we get to know a bit more about this particular fictitious school. It is called the DA Primary School in the Kumbungu District of Ghana Education Service. Now, what he also found is that it was created as a functioning school under the District Assembly Primary School. So it was supposed to be run by the District Assembly, right? But they found that it, first of all, was not a school under GES. It didn't exist. And yet they had actually put in their teacher staff who were supposed to be in this school that didn't exist in the first place. So the teachers themselves were fictitious and were paying them. Now, linked to that, the special prosecutor also found that some head teachers and heads of units were also validating some persons whose whereabouts were unknown to them. So they didn't know where the teachers are, but the head teachers and the heads of the units were validating them. Now, the OSP actually goes on to say that some validators were validating persons who were to the knowledge of the validator. So this instance, they knew that their people were ghosts, they didn't exist. They knew that people were deceased, they knew they had retired or had vacated their post. They knew that, and yet they went ahead to validate them. How did they do this? They sampled high risk number of 1,265 persons, they say, represented on the payroll. Now, the joint investigations and assessment cleared some 1,020 persons as regularly validated. Then a special prosecutor promptly unfroze the blocked salaries. Remember, that was one of the most controversial issues. The organized labor, particularly NAGRAT, had held a press conference and had threatened that they were going to call an industrial action and withdraw their services because the OSP had frozen some salaries. Now, the OSP says here that for the teachers that they validated, some 1,020 of them, they quickly unfroze and unblocked the salaries of these verified regular validated persons upon the timeous clearance by the joint team, and these persons have been restored on the payroll system. Now, that is what the OSP is saying as far as this very, very controversial matter is concerned. And I know the teachers were very, very unhappy at the time that this process started. And this, by the way, as MFIU said, is focusing only on the Northern Region for now.
And they say in the coming days, they'll focus on the other 15 regions. But you mentioned the DA school there in Kumbungu. We've been trying to reach the director, the district director of education for Kumbungu. I spoke to him myself, Mr. Suleiman Yaya, and mentioned that he will provide details later. Agreed that he'll be speaking to us on Newsnight. But we're still working the lines to reach him on this to find out exactly how this validation was done for this fictitious school. But Martina Bugri is our regional correspondent. She's been trying to also find out more following the release of this report by the special prosecutor. Martina, since the release of this report, you've been trying to find out more. What have you been able to gather?
So we have several schools with a DA attack, and so it's been difficult to get. But one school that has semblance of the description given is the Kute DA Primary School. We are told that school was being operated under the Makaranta system, and so they were operating under a shed. And then an NGO came to build some four classroom blocks for them. They moved in there, and then they later on built two more and an office for them. Government or the district assembly in 2016 to absorb the school. And so this is the school that has some semblance of what has been described in the special prosecutor's document.
Well, but I'm sure there's been talk amongst teachers, among head teachers, regional directors, that you've been finding out. What's the talk amongst them? What exactly have they been telling you?
It looks like most of the teachers do not really trust their head teachers. And so you have issues of teachers having problems with their head teachers. They are claiming that in instances that you try to find out what they are doing, they quickly get you transferred. And so they are not surprised that some head teachers are conniving with others to rape off government several millions of cedis.
That's our regional correspondent there, Martina Bugri, giving us updates on this particular situation. But thankfully, the president of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, NAT, Reverend Dr. Isaac Owusu, joins us with immediate reaction to this particular report. I bet you must be aware that the OSP was undertaking this exercise in the northern region. But are you surprised at the findings? 2.8 million cedis, a non-existent school.
Well, MFA, let me say a very good evening to your cherished listeners. And let me say that, personally, I am not happy with the way and manner the OSP went about this finding. In as much as we know that the OSP outfit was established by statute and an act of parliament, we shouldn't forget that you are also to use due process in conducting whatever investigation you want to do. However, this OSP issue was one of the cases we sent to the Labour Commission. And at the Labour Commission, the chief employer, which is the Director General of Ghana Education Service, and the Second Minister, Honorable Dr. Osei Oduchum, the commissioner asked them whether they were aware of the activity OSP was embarking on. And they denied outright that they have no knowledge. Now, the Director General has representatives in all the 16 regions and in all the districts. You cannot just go to multimedia without looking for the CEO or the management, and you begin to block the salary of MFA.
But Dr. Isaac Owusu, really, it looks like you are playing the man and not the ball. Really, these are government institutions, state institutions, and if the OSP finds some rot of a sort in there, are you saying that he needs permission from teachers and directors before they can conduct such exercises? Is that what you're saying?
And here we are, he's giving you a name of a school. And in DES, we do not have any school called DA Primary. Every school...
Because it doesn't exist. It was created. It's fictitious, Dr. Isaac Owusu.
However, look, I've read the report. Now, there are certain schools that do not have management units. And those schools have been attached to the various education offices. So it is the district education office that validates schools without management units. And you should know that we still have some schools under police. And every school has a unique name and a code. If OSP has taken pain to visit the directory, after your investigation, if you have asked the director of Bungubu that I have seen school A, do you have it in your record? You didn't do any of it. We are not saying that you should go and seek permission. But look, this blockade of salary, it cuts across the country, including teachers on study leave. Innocent teachers. In the month of January and February, innocent teachers are like, well, bro, what kind of investigation is this? We shouldn't use the state institution to intimidate and threaten individuals. What kind of behavior is that?
Is it your understanding, Dr. Owusu, that this particular exercise, which was done in conjunction with the Controller and Accountant General's Department, was done on the blind side of GES and the various directors? Is it your understanding of the matter?
Not that my understanding. I know as a fact. Because the Minister of Education was asked, he said he had no knowledge about it. The director general was asked. He said, no knowledge about it. And the teacher's employer is not controller. Neither is it OSU. So have you found out from the employer that you are paying people who do not exist? We cannot be living in a country like that.
Substantively, though, the findings, at least he's been able to save some money, and it appears that there's some ghost names in there. I'm sure that should be the main concern for you.
As I'm speaking to you, the Malimetropolis, there are still teachers whose salary has been dropped by this OSC. Kemalemetu alone. We still have teachers whose salary has been dropped by this OSC. What money have you saved? There are things happening that we are expecting him to go there. You should leave the tickets alone. Is it because you think that they are many? It should take time and go to the DES and look at the difficulties that the tickets are in. I'm telling you, he's talking about validation. The controller itself gave the validation. And directed that is a teacher is transferred from Joy FM to Asempa FM. You, the headmaster of Joy FM, validate the teacher for the next 3 months and make him a mission staff. After 3 months, the worker who Asempa FM headmaster, will now validate the person as unknown until that new teacher gets a new management TV. So what are they talking about?
It does appear that you are jumping to the defense of these teachers when, in fact, there may be
some rot in the system that ought to be uncovered. I am not jumping anyway. I'm not saying that the teachers are safe.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use very intimidative approach to get what you want, then you'll be messing schools that you don't even know. And I am surprised that the GES is very quiet on this. You are the employer, and you sit down for anybody to humiliate your workers. I said, Kemale Metro, send your reporters, Kemale Metro town. There are teachers whose salary have been blocked, and they are still at fault.
So essentially, you are disputing the findings of the OSP.
The approach is not the best, and certainly it will affect the outcome.
Well, we'll leave it here. That's the Reverend Dr. Isaac Owusu. He's the president of the Ghana National Association of Teachers, and not their immediate reaction to the OSP's findings, that, report that the OSP has just put out, that that finding was done in conjunction with the Controller and Accountant General's Department. We've tried also reaching the Controller and Accountant General's Department for more on this particular issue, but we know that they are going to extend it to the other 15 regions. This is just for the northern region.
You're still live on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, the minority in Parliament, they are sounding the alarm bells tonight on the alleged illegal recruitment being secretly done into the security services by government. That's what they alleged tonight at the news conference. The minority leader, Dr. Kesela Tofosing, at a news conference alleged that all MPP parliamentary candidates have been given 30 slots each to pick MPP supporters and foot soldiers to park the security services, including the police and the army.
That the minority raised serious concerns about the criteria adopted by the NPP government to recruit personnel into the security services. It has persisted in taking additional steps in the last few days that we have seen. The NDC minority can authoritatively state that not long ago, the NPP government again has illegally and fraudulently given out 30 slots to all MPP parliamentary candidates across the country for the recruitment into the security services, namely Ghana Police Service, 2, the Immigration Service, 3, the Fire Service, 4, the Ghana Army, 5, the Ghana Navy, and 6, the Ghana Air Force. 30 slots to each parliamentary candidate of the NPP. The recruitment of the NPP foot soldiers into the security services, especially in this election year is a calculated attempt to compromise the elections, given that the loyalty of the new recruit in the event that they are deployed will be to the ruling MPP and not to the state, as it is required for all security personnel. The murder of the 8 innocent Ghanaians during the 2020 presidential elections and parliamentary elections by the MPP party hooligans, masked as security personnel, is still fresh on our minds. These needless deaths, as a result of the infiltration of our security services by such NPP thugs and hoodlums who were recruited into the security services. The blood of those whose lives were unlawfully and violently taken by the MPP thugs is in security uniforms will continue to be in the hands of this government. Ladies and gentlemen, it is unacceptable that the government continues to put cheap partisan considerations ahead of the overall peace, security and stability of our country in the run-up to the 2024 elections.
Well, the minority leader is also serving notice of the NPP packing the security agencies with the aim of creating chaos in the 2024 election. He says it will be fiercely resisted as its members and supporters across the country will fight back.
We wish to remind His Excellency the President, President Akufo-Addo, and the Vice President, Alhaji Bawumia, that they will not have their way this time round, regardless of whatever maneuverings that they will roll out in the 2024 elections. We will resist these shenanigans with all our might and all our strength. Our members, our supporters and sympathizers will not just defend themselves against unlawful attacks by the MPP thugs in uniform. We shall hold these NPP hoodrums personally responsible for their unlawful violation of the laws of Ghana and the legitimate rights of our people. Ladies and gentlemen, it is in the interest of the MPP foot soldiers to act lawfully or face the full consequences of their actions and the wrath of our supporters. Just as the minority protested vehemently against the politicization of our security services through illegal recruitment in 2019, we once again demand that recruitment into all the security services be halted forthwith to allow for advertisement to be made with the qualification criteria duly spelled out for all to see. By so doing, we would have created equal opportunity for all Ghanaians who would then be selected on the basis of merit and not cheap partisanship and nepotistic consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe that this practice must stop.
And that is the minority leader, Dr. Kesila Tofose. My parliamentary correspondent, Kweku Asante, is with me on the line. Kweku, did they provide any evidence to back this claim?
Well, they did not, except to regurgitate the points that he had the minority leader say. But they say that they have been gathering intelligence over the last few months, and certain key persons, even within the hierarchy of the Ghana Police Service, the Ghana Armed Forces, have been providing them this information that they believe are credible. But they are serving notice that if government does not stop this, when Parliament resumes in the next week or two, they are going to make the meeting of that Parliament about the election 2024, and they will ensure that that does not happen. Listen to James Agaga, his ranking member on the Defence and Interior Committee.
Let me state that when the Honourable Ambrose Dere, the former Interior Minister, sought to counter our press conference by stating that the recruits had gone through the procedure, I mean, he wasn't being truthful, because at the time it was evident that no advertisements had been made as is required by the service regulations of all the security agencies, including the armed forces. So that point was well made. Fast forward to 2024. How many years is it now? We're talking about 2019. So if you argue that you are clearing a backlog, let me tell you something. When an advert is made for recruitment, age is very important. And so if it's the argument that they are clearing a backlog, what do you think would be the ages of those who applied in 2019? They'll be disqualified by now. You see, because if you exceed 25,
Well, that is an interference there. Of course, this is your election headquarters nonetheless. And that there you had was James Agaga, who is a ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee on the subject as we approach elections. This is something that you become very used to, the allegations. We'll be interrogating for some evidence and some answers pretty shortly. But I want to bring in Davis Opoku and Size MP for Empire. So as you've heard the allegation by the minority side that the MPs on the majority side have been giving 30 slots each on the police and the army. He joins us on the line. Mr. Davis Opokwansa, have you been given 30 slots?
Not at all, Ivan.
Apologies for that interference in the background there. Davis Opoku, if you can hear me, you're making a point. Apologies.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yes, I'm saying that not at all. I've not been given 30 slots. I am a very active member of my caucus, and if such opportunities should be available, I'm sure that I'll be told that.
How many? Not 30 slots. How many slots have you been given?
I've not been given any slot as a member of parliament. And I'm saying an authority that as a member of parliament, I have not been given any such slot. And I'm surprised that this allegation or this statement is coming from Atufosi, the leader of the House, the minority leader. Today, he had a very privileged opportunity to meet with the President of the Republic. And if I were him, I'd be bold enough, somebody who has oversight responsibility of the executive, to ask the President that I'm told, I'm picking signals, that you have given 30 slots to your members of parliament. Why did you do that if it is true? But if Atu could not do that, and he comes publicly to make this wild allegation, I think that Atu is being very unfortunate. It's an unfortunate statement for Atu Fulton to make. It's quite unfortunate.
Well, let me find out briefly, though. I would want to find out from you that as an MP, since you became an MP, have you aided any of your constituents to be able to go into any of the security agencies?
Well, I have. And this is how I do it. At a point, the security agencies shifted from just an application where you go and buy forms to a more digital system. I think it was championed by the Vice President, His Excellency Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia. And people have difficulties, for instance, in my constituency, going on to a portal and applying. So what I did was that in my constituency office, I made available some computers with people with knowledge and such applications. And they were assisting people to apply. So if you say that if you ask me the question, if I have assisted people, yes, I have assisted them in filling the forms.
At the last count,
creating a platform. Yes.
At the last count, how many constituents have you been able to assist to get into these security agencies?
Well, so I really don't know the number. I cannot tell you that Evans or Messi or Joyce. All I do is that I create a platform for you. I give you the computer. Because, you see, in my constituency, I have very remote areas. People from Intomim who do not have light, who do not have good roads, who do not have network, so they don't have access to internet. So these young guys come to my office, they do the application. And if they get picked, it is none of my business. If they are not picked, it is none of my business.
You do no follow-up calls for them and use your position as a member of parliament
because the thing is digitalized.
To get them admitted into
service. The selection process is digitalized. It is based on what you put in there, and the outcome of it is what you get.
So you've never benefited from the existing protocol list?
I have not. Since I became a member of parliament, I have not enjoyed any protocol list. In fact, I'll be very happy if I'm given a protocol list to give to my constituents. My children are less than 10 years. I'm not too sure I have any family member who wants to enter the police or the military. But I have not been given such an opportunity. The opportunity available is how Excellency Dr. Mahamadou Bawumia, through his vision of digitalizing such platforms, has created one where every Ghanaian, irrespective of where you are able to apply. I mean, there's no meritocracy, there's no protocol. It is based on your competence, the information you put in there, your height, your health issues. That is what happens. So if Atu were doing it, I think that he was doing it whilst serving as deputy minister. And that is why for him, he can create this illusion that MPP MPs have been given 30 slots. Well, I'm telling you on authority, no MPP MP has been given any 30 slots.
And you can speak for all 137 members on your side.
I am speaking for all 137 members. But you see, Evans, do you know the danger in what Atu is doing? In recent times, there's been instances where names of members of parliament have been used to create fake Facebook accounts in the name of recruitment. Putting such information out there, you are equipping these criminals to create more of such platforms and dupe innocent Ghanaians. Because the impression is being created by Atu Fortin that members of parliament belonging to the MPP side have been given 30 slots. And for me, it is a dangerous thing, and I think that Atu must come out and apologize to Ghanaians. He needs to apologize to Ghanaians. He needs to tell the young people of this country that the system that has been put in place cannot be manipulated, and that he, Atu, nor me, as Member of Parliament, do not have access to recruiting people onto the security system.
Well, thankfully, beside him today at the press conference was James Agaga, and James Agaga is the ranking on the Defense and Interior Committee in Parliament. Mr. Agaga, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. You made these allegations today, and from what my reports on the ground tell us, you provided no evidence to back that.
Thank you, Evan. Let me start by informing my colleague on the other side that it is a false statement to attribute the electronic recruitment system, which has been in place since the era of IGP Quay. And IGP Quay was at post when Professor Mills was president of this country. So the fact that the security agencies now recruit through a digitalized platform cannot be attributed to Dr. Bawumia. So I'd want my colleague to correct himself moving forward. Evans, having said that, let me state categorically that the last budget statement, which was read on the floor of Parliament and approved, clearly made provision for recruitment into the security services, especially those under internal security. Now, the question to ask is, when budget clearance is sought and given for recruitment, what is the criteria that must be followed? The criteria that must be followed is that, one, an advertisement ought to be made in order to give equal access and opportunity to all those qualified to apply. Now, Evans, as we speak, after the budget was approved and allocation made for recruitment, this government has failed deliberately to cause to be made an advertisement to that effect.
Well, Mr. Agaga, your allegation was very specific, that members of parliament on the NPP side have been given 30 slots each to pick NPP supporters and foot soldiers to pack the
Absolutely.
Security services. Where is the evidence to support that?
Yes. Oh, Evan, you want the evidence?
Yes, please.
You see, these are administrative matters. I will refer you to Section 7 of the SRAJ Act. And that provision is very clear. Where a complaint is made or an allegation is made that certain attempts are being made by government to deny equal opportunity and access to the security service, it is for the matter to be investigated. So we have gathered intelligence Remember that we are members of parliament.
But Mr. Agaga, is one thing not to follow the laid down processes for recruitment, but it's a wholly and it's an entirely different subject for you to allege that 30 slots have been given to MPP MPs. That's a categorical allegation.
Open slots have been given.
Yeah,
and we insist that let state agencies charged with the mandate to investigate the allegation and see whether they are not made up.
Without any shred of evidence. You are a lawyer. You know the concept of prima facie. You haven't even provided anything for us to go on.
Evan, we have evidence from members of parliament and parliamentary aspirants of the MPP
what's the nature of this evidence?
Who are roaming their constituencies and soliciting for names. Some of those who have been invited to furnish them with names are people known to us. And therefore, if an investigative machinery is set in motion, we can furnish them with some of those names. And that is why I have referred you to Section 7 of the Rights Act. In any case...
Parliament. You can't ask for a parliamentary probe for this to happen. If you really have the evidence.
Well, in the press conference addressed by the minority leader, we stated categorically that the process be halted. First of all, there are moves to recruit. And I don't expect to be asked to furnish anybody with evidence that this government is preparing feverishly to recruit, even though they haven't advertised. That is a fact.
Well, that's not a fact. That right now, without evidence, is conjecture and an allegation. And Davis, you say that this is one thing that you deny categorically. It's not true. But you've heard the allegation. You're also a member of parliament. He says an investigation, if opened, they will come with the evidence. Are you prepared and willing to support such an investigation in parliament?
Well, of course. I mean, we are all prepared to support such a... Because I've told you the danger. I mean, the national security threat to the press conference that was held today by the minority leader. I mean, people will be duped. Pressures will be mounted on members of parliament. I mean, with the impression that some slots, 30 slots have been given to them. But clearly, from what Agaga just said, they have no evidence. It is just pedestrian, just propaganda. And for me, it's aimed at courting some level of hatred for members of parliament belonging to the MPP side. That, for me, is the only reason somebody would put out this wicked lie aimed at destroying or tarnishing the images of members of parliament.
And that's Davis Opoku Ansah, is the MP for Empire. So you also listen to James Agaga, is the MP for Bolson North, is an MP, and the minority spokesperson on defense and interior.
Let's bring in George for the latest from the world of business. George, what do we have?
Well, hi, MFA. Coming up in business, some oil marketing companies increase prices of petroleum products at pumps despite earlier market data forecasting a reduction. And government promises to deal with the tax hike concerns of telcos as they vow to scale back on fresh investments because of these current concerns. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery Centers, thanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, some oil marketing companies have increased prices of petroleum products at the pumps. Now, this is despite earlier prediction of prices going down for the next 2 weeks. We have details in this report.
Goil took the lead, selling a litre of petrol at 14 cedis, 55 pesos from the old price of 14 cedis, 40 pesos. Diesel, on the other hand, is going for 14 cedis, 70 pesos, compared to the old price of 14 cedis, 65 pesos. It is not clear what influenced Goil's decision to increase their prices, especially when industry data showed that prices should have rather gone down for the next 2 weeks. However, most of the oil marketing companies decided to leave the price unchanged since last Thursday because of the city's depreciation. Another major player in the industry, Allied, has also told Joy Business they will also review their prices upwards, but will still be below the 14 cities market. Some of the oil marketing companies have maintained that they need to find some innovative ways to minimize the impact of the city's depreciation on their operations going forward. The performance of the Ghana City and how the various finished petroleum products are selling on the international market have been a major factor in determining the fuel prices at the pumps on the local market. The latest round of increases by some of the major oil marketing companies may feed into rising cost of living and doing business in the country.
And that is the Business Desk report. Now, later development, the Association of Oil Marketing Companies say the city's performance has been a major factor influencing these price hikes. Dr. Riverson Opon is chief executive of the association.
That we all know that the forest price at today, we've seen an increase from 12 to 13 to 14 and some IVs are 15 today. And that in a way also affects the pump price. I've heard people mention that it's because of the pricing mechanism or the floor price that MPA, I would say, implemented early this month that is causing the increase in the pump price. That is not the case. But if you have a flat price moving from 753 to 940, it should tell you that indeed that also affects the delivery cost of the product, and also with the impact in the forex and the position of the city would also affect the product. Remember, we buy the product in dollars and not in cedis.
Dr. Riverson Opon is chief executive of the Association of Oil Marketing Companies. Meanwhile, there are fears that the death of the Iranian president may push prices of crude oil up in the coming days. A barrel of crude oil is going for $83.71 on the market this evening. Now, government has given the firm assurance that it is taking steps to deal with the high tax concerns of telcos. Now, some of these telecom operators have warned that they could rather scale back fresh investment in the sector because of these high tax levels. Esla Owusu is Minister for Communications and Legislation. He's been talking about some measures to deal with these concerns of the telcos, including improving their revenue.
Government is investing in putting in the infrastructure and is working with the operators to leverage that infrastructure to provide their services. We've all stated that government alone can't do it. The private sector alone won't do it. There has to be a partnership. So those are conversations that we need to have so that it reduces the burden on the network operators who are in country, who are building those networks, on the backs of which these big tech companies are delivering their service.
Estela Owusu is Minister for Communications and Digitalization. Let's talk about banking, because the managing director of First Bank Ghana, Victor Asante, is downplaying predictions that more banks could be downsizing operations and moving out of the country. It follows announcement by State General that it is working to review its operations in the country. Mr. Asante said the situation is not as bad as is being reported in some quarters.
The challenges banks face have not changed there. So it's not like we have a situation where right now there's a different challenge. Sometimes it's the severity or the timing and all of that. So everything that we are doing has happened before. Banking is about risk return. So yes, a lot of banks are always appraising their return based on their risk appetite. So it's different for every bank. Some banks may decide that the risk versus the return is no more worth it, and therefore it's time to go somewhere else, because maybe it's also about alternatives. So yes, banks may be struggling. Yes, banks may be having issues around the DEP, but the decision around leaving or not leaving is not taken lightly at all. And I don't think there's going to be a rush out of the door at all. I don't think so.
Victor Asante is the managing director of First Bank Ghana. If you should turn your attention to the stock market, if you had invested from the beginning of the year to now, you've made over 19% return on the market. And that's all for the business report on Newsnight. Back to you, Evans and MFA.
Thank you very much, George. And Ms. Bao is here with sports.
Yeah, Evans, well, the under-17 WAFU B Championship continues tomorrow with Ghana back in action against Benin, and they'll be looking to advance to the semifinals with an unblemished record following their 5-0 thrashing of Cote d'Ivoire in their opening game. Now, despite this resounding victory, head coach Lai Kinson was not particularly impressed with the team's performance, citing the team's struggle to maintain possession and dominate the game. This he has vowed to address in their second game tomorrow.
Most of my boys, first time playing such competition, home soil, I felt they were a little bit jittery. So with that, we have to manage and then try to take something out and then try and do our best. Sometimes we try to play 1, 2, 3 passes. But for me, as a technical person, I'm not satisfied with the way we play. We did not dominate play today. We just got the results. But hey, up and coming games, this is our style. And you will see it in the way we play.
At the University of Ghana Stadium, the Black Starlets will be in action. Well, Mohamed Kudus, on the other hand, had a relatively impressive first season in the English Premier League with West Ham. Well, he scored 8 goals and assisted 6 times in the Premier League and in all competitions, scored 18 and made 7 assists. Well, he spoke about his first season at the club and in the Premier League, and he says this is just the beginning.
100%, you know, like I said, big credit to the manager. You know, he has done a fantastic job this season. Long season, difficult time, but ups and downs. But I give credit to all the teammates. You know, everyone was on top of their season. Even the guys who are not playing more, playing less. Even the guys on the bench. You know, we are all together. And then yeah, there's a lot of respect and then energy from everyone else. So big credit to the whole team. But this is just the beginning. I've tested the waters now, and then yeah, I'm ready to get it running for the next season.
Yeah, Mohamed Kudus there, you know, scored a stunning goal against Manchester City in the weekend there. And that's it we have for you in sports. The only remaining game is Manchester United versus Manchester City and the FA Cup. And Evans, hopefully you can avoid a trophyless season with that.
Sometimes it's the hope that hurts more.